Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. FBI agents are now involved. The story's just getting bigger and bigger. Actually, we'll get to that part of the story in a moment. But first, this update. WorldNet Daily's editor, publisher Joseph Farah has been interviewed now on the BBC about the Barack Obama birth certificate question. Why won't Obama release his birth certificate? And tomorrow, Joseph Farah will be here on Bob Enyart Live. We'll be interviewing him. And he has a fascinating article out on WorldNet Daily, why he doubts the current Kenyan birth document of Barack Obama. It's a great column. If you haven't read it, you might want to go to WorldNet Daily. See the document that now has been introduced in federal court in California. And we should have a great time following up on our interview yesterday with Robert Unruh, reporter at WorldNet Daily, who has written many of the birth certificate articles there. Okay. It's been mentioned now on the Senate floor by Harry Reid. And the story continues to grow with 430,000 people signing the petition to ask Barack Obama to simply release his birth certificate. Okay. There's psychological warfare going on at the abortion clinic. And this one in Denver, Colorado, the massive Planned Parenthood, 50,000 square foot new abortion facility built by the nation's number one abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. They kill children for money. And in studio to talk about this psychological warfare is Joe Scott, founder of Pro-Life Colorado. Joe, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be here.
Well, hey, Joe, I know that Planned Parenthood despises Christian pro-lifers, but they have been using what I think we could call psychological warfare in an attempt to manipulate and scare, especially, I'd say, the younger protesters and especially folks with kids, young moms, to scare them away from the clinic.
You're correct.
That's right. That's been happening. Mm-hmm. Let's give a few examples of that. One with a ladder, one with supposedly something on tape, and then we'll get to the FBI. I said that the FBI is now involved.
Right.
Well, they're involved at the abortion clinic.
Right.
Maybe somebody thought I meant with the Obama birth certificate.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Well, maybe eventually. Yeah. You know, we joked yesterday that once that birth document was published on the internet, there were probably Homeland Security agents, the CIA, FBI, all investigating where was that rug manufactured that birth certificate document was photographed on. Okay, so let's start with the ladder. Why is there a ladder at not hundreds, but thousands of abortion protests in Denver? There are ladders. I mean, actual ladders that you might put up to paint your living room.
Right. Some real tall ones, too.
Some real tall ones that might be taller than your living room ceiling. Mm-hmm. What are they there for?
To ensure that we can make eye contact with the women going into the Planned Parenthood building, because there's a huge fence blocking us at normal height. It goes up over my head, over Ken's head. So we need ladders.
Okay, so there's a fence, and for decades, Planned Parenthood was at 20th and Vine in Denver, and now they're out near the old Stapleton Airport, and we called it the Sheets of Shame because they erected a clothesline, and they hung sheets on the clothesline so that the women going in to pay Planned Parenthood to kill their babies would not be able to see the pro-lifers begging at that last moment for the life of their child.
Right.
So the sheets of shame. And that term was picked up last year during the DNC. You remember the sheets of shame?
Oh, I'll never forget them, Bob.
Never forget it. The world's largest protest sign put on the Rocky Mountains, on the mountains facing Denver. 2,400 sheets of shame sewed together to form 22 letters that said DNC destroys unborn children. Hey, by the way, anybody out there listening, especially if you're in Colorado or the Denver area, perhaps you'd want to drop an email to the Denver Post and ask them, now that it's a year later, coming up later this month, they should do a story on the DNC sheets of shame.
Largest protest sign in the world.
Largest protest sign in the world. And right there, looking into the city of Denver, visible, you could read it for 10 miles, visible for 20 miles, a million people saw that sign without even involving the media, just with their own eyes.
That's right.
It was an extraordinary time, opportunity, and the story was told, and it did go around the world, especially the photo of that protest sign, but the Denver Post ignored it.
Yeah, I wonder why.
How could they ignore? I mean, during the DNC, a lot of the reporting was about the protesting. How could they possibly ignore the world's largest protest sign? Just the story of how it was created. I mean, isn't a sweatshop against the law?
Yeah.
Yeah, American Right to Life put up a sweatshop three shifts a day for a month. So 4 miles of seams. Were you involved in that?
Yeah, I was.
You were one of the chief seamstresses.
I was sewing.
The chief seamstress was a woman named Dee.
Dee was the chief seamstress. She kept us all in line.
She was good too, huh? Yeah, so 4 miles of seams and what, about 65 backpackers taking that sign up on the mountain and the unfurling, all coordinated with spotters a mile away. And the mountain was marked. There was a grid, a local coordinate system set out on the mountain. It looked like the design document. That's how perfectly it was implemented. And the media, I mean, it was reported. Nine News, our NBC affiliate in Denver, actually had a fabulous report. And it's online at AmericanRightToLife.org. And you could see all the reporting. But the Denver Post just ignored it.
That's right. Bob, everyone I've told about that whole feat of getting the sign made, of dyeing the DNC and a couple of our people bright yellow.
In other words, three of the 22 letters were dyed yellow, so they would stand out vertically, DNC. Right. Yeah, so we dyed the three letters and some people.
And some people,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, dyeing letters that were that big. These letters were 160 feet tall.
Right.
That's big. This sign dwarfed the Statue of Liberty.
Right.
In fact, on American Right to Life's website, right on the homepage, you can see an actual perspective of the sign with the Statue of Liberty overlaid on it.
Right. And everyone that I've showed those pictures to and told about the feat, the actual amount of time and effort that went into it, can't believe it. They just can't believe
people
that
are
we
stunned.
That we would put that much time and effort into rising above the fray at the DNC.
Yeah, and the editorial down in the Colorado Springs paper, the Gazette, was priceless. They said the liberal protesters, they couldn't even seem to put together an interesting slogan. They just didn't have their act together. Meanwhile, the pro-lifers were seemingly everywhere, and they described all the extraordinary protests. And they said, and then there was that minor matter of the enormous sign on the mountain, you know? So the Denver Post needs to just, they're the paper of record.
Right.
They need to do a 1 year later look back at the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, and that was an extraordinary story that needs to be reported.
And if they did report it, it'd take a lot of space in the paper and they wouldn't have to cover the birthers stuff.
Yeah, that's true, right? Give them a distraction right there for that.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got to this because we were talking about the ladders.
Right.
Right?
So.
and people going up on the ladders so that pro-lifers, so we could look over the sheets of shame, because that's what that sign was called. It was called the DNC Sheets of Shame.
Right.
American Right to Life titled it that. And so pro-lifers for many years have been bringing ladders to the abortion clinics, to Planned Parenthood, and setting them up on the public sidewalk and climbing up the ladder so that you can speak to and make eye contact with the women going in who have scheduled abortions. They're planning to pay. Do you know how much they pay at Planned Parenthood on average? They're going to pay to kill their unborn child.
Right. They pay about $450 for first trimester, and it goes up exponentially from there. Hmm.
What's the higher dollar amounts? Like if you go to Boulder, Colorado, for a late-term abortion, I've seen bills in excess of $15,000 to kill a baby that's really old. Because if you hire a hitman to kill someone,
you have to pay.
You got to pay. And it, you know, if it's a pro, they might want $50,000 or more. If it's a hack, they might do it for $10,000 or $15,000. That's like Warren Hearn in Boulder. He'll kill that full-grown, full-size baby for, you know, $10,000 to $20,000.
He is a murderer.
Yeah, he's a murderer. So, okay, so you climb up on the ladder so you can make eye contact with the women who are scheduled to kill their babies so that you can look over the sheets of shame.
Yeah, and talk them into keeping their children. But what happened now, since they've moved to the new location, is across the street there's an abandoned fire station.
There's an abandoned fire station. The Denver Fire Department no longer has need of that fire station.
Correct. And Planned Parenthood has its own cameras stationed at the top of that building, so it can survey everything that's going on outside of the sheets of shame that they put up. And
it's
watch
a sophisticated
us.
Surveillance system, really. It's sophisticated.
Very sophisticated.
And now that's not still Denver property. The city and county of Denver no longer owns that fire station.
No, they don't.
So that means it was sold, and it had to be sold in a public auction.
Well, that's what you would think, Bob, but that's not what happened.
That's not how things work when Planned Parenthood is involved. Remember, they just wanted the steps of the Capitol for their Roe v. Wade event on January 22nd of 2010. Mm-hmm. And they applied 200 days before the event for a permit. And the rules in the state, they say on the state's own website, you can only apply 180 days in advance. So Colorado Right to Life, the president, Joe Riccobono, went and said, look, this is invalid. You cannot give this permit to Planned Parenthood. We are applying according to the rules. You have to give the permit to us. And they were denying the permit. And some pressure was brought to bear. I think Senator Scott Renfro helped. A whole group went down with Colorado Right to Life at, you know, 6:30 in the morning when they opened their doors. And so the state then went to Planned Parenthood and said, we're pulling your permit. The permit is going to Colorado Right to Life. So, Joe, this is 2 years in a row we've stole the Capitol steps from Planned Parenthood.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
They
even
don't
in
need
a,
it.
Even in a small symbolic victory like that, it's enjoyable because last year was the first year in memory that they did not have a Roe v. Wade event in Denver. So that was cool.
And hopefully this will be the second year.
Yeah, we'll see. But Colorado Right to Life at noon on January 22nd, write it on your calendars, will be at the Capitol with their annual March for Life. Now, Planned Parenthood bought this land and they filed fraudulently with the city and county of Denver. They said they were United Airlines building a training facility. And so thanks to Will Duffy, founder of the Collaborators Project, they didn't get away with that. That was exposed. And so there were extraordinary protests against the contractors, and it undoubtedly delayed the opening of their new abortuary by some significant amount of time, but they did open it. But the property across the street, which was an abandoned fire station, around the country, pro-lifers chip in money and they buy property next to an abortion clinic so that they can put a crisis pregnancy center in. and offer free ultrasounds and help to women and tell them you don't have to kill your baby to be loved. You don't have to kill your baby to be helped. They'll charge you $450 to kill your baby. We will help you for free.
That's right.
That's what pro-lifers do. And so that property would have been perfect.
It would have been.
For Pro-Life Colorado.
Perfect.
For Colorado Right to Life to do a fundraiser and get a mortgage and buy that facility. But it was sold, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
At a public auction?
No.
It was not sold at a public auction. It was sold quietly to supporters of Planned Parenthood.
Well, they held a secret city council meeting to enable the people that bought the fire station to buy it. So, more than quietly, I think.
And perhaps listening to the show right now, there might be an attorney who would like to take the information we have. You know, the pro-lifers in Colorado, they're like private investigators.
That's right.
This is what we do. Absolutely everything we could think to do to fight against the killing of innocent children so that there would be no child killing with tranquility. So perhaps there's an attorney listening to this who, even though we often criticize attorneys on this show.
That's true.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We often do. But there may be an attorney who can put up with us and say, I'd like to consider filing an action against the city and county of Denver, against the purchasers of this abandoned fire station who's now helping Planned Parenthood because they allow them to put this surveillance equipment on top of this private piece of property, which, I mean, it comes clear. Where are the liberals in the ACLU when it comes to Big Brother is watching you? This is not even a government camera at an intersection looking for people running red lights. This is private property, a private agreement to videotape 24 hours a day people on the public sidewalk.
Right, and they take still photos and give them to the police, and it could be something that happened in 1 second. And was over in 1 second. Like, I got a hitchhiking ticket because they took a picture with
that. Wait, Joe Scott, you got a hitchhiking ticket because a car pulled up toward, they were just driving down the block. This block gets no traffic except for people going to have their child killed or people going to help kill children.
Right.
That's it. It's on almost a dead end. Not quite, but it's like a dead end. And so a car was driving down slowly, pulled over slightly to the right side of the street, rolled down the window to ask you directions.
Right.
And you walked up to the car and talked to them for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happened after that, a couple days later?
The police showed up with pictures of me at the car, and they said I was in the roadway. And when you read the whole thing that I was
charged with,
it's in the roadway for the purposes of soliciting a ride.
The ordinance. So they charged you with a crime.
Right.
And it was a hitchhiking charge.
Right.
So this is a scam, of course. It's collusion between Planned Parenthood and these people who fraudulently bought this abandoned Denver fire station and the city and county of Denver and the Denver Police Department.
That's all right.
Collusion and fraud.
And it's odd or ironic that the case was dismissed because the officer lied on the stand.
The officer lied on the stand. Do you want to tell just real quickly, because I want to get onto these other two examples.
Well, he lied on the stand because he said he was there the day that the offense took place, and he was not.
He was not there.
It was verified by the day he wrote the ticket and the date on the picture that was taken by that camera.
Joe, how often have the Denver police officers lied when they take the stand against pro-lifers?
Often.
It's hard to think of a case when they haven't. And you know what? I actually don't think it's just because it's against pro-lifers. Our court system is so broken that what happens is both sides lie in virtually every trial. Criminal cases, it's just startling how both sides will lie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And so the police have no real hesitation in lying. People are not charged with perjury. That's a relic of a bygone age. And the judges assume that everybody's lying. The judges start off by telling somebody is charged, let's say, with a sexual assault. The judge will say, well, I see no reason why you shouldn't plead not guilty. I can't give you legal advice, but I don't see any reason why you shouldn't plead not guilty and, you know, we'll proceed. So the judge is telling the criminal, I want you to lie to me, lie to the court, lie that your victim, lie about your victim's accusations, lie about the detectives. So the whole system is psychologically dysfunctional.
That's right.
And 90% of the inmates, or is that 99, all say they're not guilty.
That's right.
After the judge told them, say you're not guilty, and then they have to start coming up with a whole slew of lies to say they're not guilty. So anyway, that officer lied and that was dismissed.
Right. So the reason I told that story was because that camera can just take a shot. Well, we had a young family down on the picket line one day, and one of the younger children got on the ladder for maybe a minute alone, and there was really nobody not watching the child.
Right.
Just not in the frame of the picture that
the child is on
took.
A ladder. And Cheryl and I, we've raised 7 boys.
Right.
Kids love ladders.
They do.
They love ladders. They're attracted to ladders. It's just fascinating to try to defy gravity. And so they climb up a couple rungs on a ladder, and mom and dad will look. They'll say, be careful, don't go too high. But anyway, Planned Parenthood, with this collusion with the abandoned fire station and the fraudulent sale of the property without a public auction, they got a photograph of it. They got a snapshot of it.
Right.
So what happened?
Well, Planned Parenthood called Child Protective Services.
Social Services.
Uh-huh.
And so that's... You know, talk about using children as weapons.
Oh, my goodness.
Planned Parenthood. I counsel. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. For many years, I've done counseling of all sorts, family counseling, counsel divorcees. And one of the things I stress is you never use the kids as a weapon. It doesn't matter if you think you can get your way. You don't even think of using the kids as a weapon. And Planned Parenthood, they don't really take that approach. For them, it's open season. Kids are fair game to Planned Parenthood.
They're profit.
That's
dead
their
children.
Profit center. Yeah. Dead children. So, of course, they would use someone's children as a weapon against pro-lifers.
Well, to ensure their profit, children are wonderful outside of an abortion clinic, especially singing and playing and smiling and being happy mm-hmm. and not looking at like this horrific burden.
Mm-hmm. And so Planned Parenthood will threaten these kids and the mom and the family by calling social services and basically threatening, hey, you're going to come and exercise your free speech right here on a public sidewalk. We're going to do what we can to try to take your kids away from you. We're going to put that fear in you that we're going to take your kids away from you. Planned Parenthood, they kill kids.
Yes.
So it's not a surprise that children are fair game to Planned Parenthood. And that they would do that. But could you imagine the fear in that child if the social worker then took the child from the parents?
For no good reason.
Could you imagine the horror in that little boy or girl's heart and mind because of Planned Parenthood and how viciously wicked those child killers are at Planned Parenthood?
I can't imagine how terrified the child would be. And I also can't imagine how viciously wicked someone could be to do such a thing.
To do that. And so then we have the Denver social worker called. Now, I don't know if you remember with Dylan Walborn that how old was Dylan Walborn when Denver Children's Hospital recommended that his parents starve him to death? And the Denver Post documented it in, what, an 8-page article? It took 24 days to starve Dylan Walborn to death.
Didn't they decide that he didn't want to be more than 5 years old? So this
was before his fifth birthday. Yeah, he was 4 years old. And Denver social workers, public school teachers, Denver Children's Hospital, they were all involved in this starvation death of Dylan Walborn.
Right.
So the Denver social worker called the police department.
Right.
Yeah.
And the police came out and he came to me first and he felt kind of bad about doing this because he knew. Mm-hmm. He's seen the kids out there. He's seen how well they're taken care of. He knows our dispositions with children, but he had to follow up on what he was told to do
mm-hmm.
and relay the threat.
Right.
You know? So.
Right. So, okay, but this is psychological warfare because Planned Parenthood, they want to continue to kill children with tranquility. And so they want to intimidate, manipulate, and scare protesters, especially young protesters or young moms and families. They want to scare them away.
Right.
And now we're running out of time, but then there's the FBI agents who came to talk to one of the young protesters just in the last couple days over some complete scam issue. And tell us your advice to that young protester.
My advice was invite them in, treat them like special guests in your home, like kings, give them whatever they'd like to eat or drink and tell them everything you know.
Whatever. You know, come on in. Praise the Lord. Glad to see you visit.
Right.
Sure. Absolutely. And so they want to intimidate, but we want to take every opportunity to love, to tell people that God made us. It's wrong to kill children, and Jesus Christ can save you from your sin.
And that's exactly what they're going to do. They have literature to talk to the FBI agents with, and they are unafraid and unashamed of what they've done.
Oh, yeah, right. So, okay, that's important, I think, to let the audience know of the psychological warfare at the abortion clinic in Denver, Colorado. And it's not unlike the battles going on in city after city around the country, except that many cities don't have the intensity of the onslaught against child killing as we have in Denver.
That's true.
Denver is extraordinary. There are other cities that have extraordinary local efforts, but Denver is one of those.
Yeah, I think that we are the hub of the pro-life movement right now.
Well, it seems that way. You know, we had a recent visit by a man who ran for governor of Idaho, and he came through Colorado, and he went to American Right to Life headquarters in Denver, and he volunteered this statement. He said, Denver is the capital of the pro-life movement in America.
Wow.
Denver is. And that's his observation from Idaho. And so thank you, Joe Scott, for being at this abortion clinic every day they're open for decades now. Thank you. And for the hundreds of children that have been saved, sometimes as many as 100 in a year, confirmed saves by your presence and the Christians who are there with you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Bob. My pleasure.
All right. So, hey, real quick, when is the next time you'll be there? Maybe folks could join you to try to offset the fear of Planned Parenthood scaring other people away. When are you going to be there?
Tomorrow morning, 8:30.
Tomorrow morning, 8:30 at
7155 Pontiac Avenue.
In East 38th. Pontiac in East 38th, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just Quebec Street, two blocks west.
Behind the Renaissance.
Behind the Renaissance Hotel, just south of I-70.
Right.
Right by old Stapleton Airport. All right, Joe Scott, thank you very, very much for being here in studio today. And then Saturday morning, real quick, what time will you be there Saturday?
7:30.
Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school. God bless you.